Small but mighty, Florence, Italy is the home of some of the greatest art and architecture in the world. In a single Florentine day, you can look Michelangelo's David in the eyes, you can fall under the seductive sway of Botticelli's Birth of Venus, and climb the dome that kicked off the architectural Renaissance. But you definitely won't be the only one there, and you'll likely soon need a break from the crowds. Thankfully, Tuscany awaits just beyond the city limits, where you can venture out into the surrounding cypress-dotted hills and get lost in the thyme and wine-soaked villages of the romantic heart of Italy. I'm joined today by two guides from Italy to recommend ways to manage the crowds in bustling, art-packed Florence and to share some tips about slowing down in Tuscany. David Torti is an Italian who's been guiding since 2005, and Lisa Anderson is an American who married an Italian and has been guiding in Italy now for about 25 years. Lisa and David, thanks so much for joining us.
Grazie.
Grazie, thank you.
Wow, there's so much to talk about with Florence and then the countryside.
There is a whole lot of fun packed into Tuscany.
And you guys earn your living helping Americans sort this out. First of all, let's just think about Florence quickly, and then we'll get into the countryside. Top sites and how to manage the crowds. When you're thinking about Florence, if you got a couple of days in Florence, Lisa, what would the sort of the structure of a visit generally be?
Well, just walking outside and seeing all of the magnificent buildings, the Duomo, the Baptistry, the Bargello, the City Hall, from the outside, Ponte Vecchio, we can't forget Ponte Vecchio, is amazing. It's a living museum. I mean, and it really is truly lived in, not just by tourists. And then, of course, you have to go to the Uffizi, the Accademia. Those are the top. Pick at least one church, Santa Croce, Santa Maria Novella.
And the points that you mentioned in the beginning is what I call the Renaissance Walk.
Exactly.
It's right there. If you look at the circular road that comes up from the Arno River, that would be the medieval walls of the town. And almost everything of importance is within that echo of the old walls. David, how would you augment what Lisa just said for Florence?
Well, all the highlights that she mentioned can be seen at different times of the day and at night. Because if you want to do a night walk of Florence when most of the crowds are gone, that's, in my opinion, the best time of the day. And
important with all the crowds and the heat, because Florence is really hot and really crowded. And a lot of people are wasting magic hours of the evening sitting in their hotel room when you could take a siesta and then you could get out there and enjoy the Renaissance walk in a floodlit city without the crowd.
Absolutamente.
In the morning as well. Early in the morning is amazing too. Yeah.
Very important.
I do it all the time.
You know, the Uffizi Gallery is a U-shaped building. Uffizi means offices, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the office building of the big palace. And that U-shaped courtyard that tourists love, I love it, is literally a human traffic jam in the middle of the day. It is absolutely packed with humanity. And at night, you go by and it's like, have I already been here? I don't remember this. It was totally different. It's just
unrecognizable. It's you and a few.
It's what it is. It's architectural lines. You see the beautiful mathematics of the architecture all around you. And in each niche is one of the superheroes of the Renaissance, the statue.
Absolutely.
I love
great
it.
Artists and writers.
So now, David, Lisa talked about the core of Florence, but you got to cross the river, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You got to go to the Oltrarno, over the Arno.
Oltrarno.
Oltrarno is the district over the Arno River. Arno is the river that splits Florence into two, like any other Roman
city. Well, like in Rome, you've got Trastevere.
Trastevere, the over
across.
The Tiber.
Yeah. Okay.
Oltrarno. And
so why would you venture over the altar on the other side?
Well, for one, first thing, I mean, the Oltrarno has probably 10% of the crowds. 90% are on the famous side.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it's less beautiful. The Oltrarno is amazing, in my opinion.
You know, when you said that, there is an elevated passageway, if you happen to be a Medici, that you can go from the intensity of Florence above the crowds, over the river, and all the way to a big palace.
Yeah. The Vasari Corridor.
The Vasari Corridor and the Boboli Palace. And I was thinking about crowds because I'm fascinated by how Americans put themselves in the most crowded place in the most crowded time, and they sit there waiting through all of these miserable lines when you could compromise just a little bit on the site you're going to see and have no crowds. In Florence, a classic example is the Uffizi is on everybody's list. The Museo del Duomo, the Museum of the Cathedral, it's got just as many textbook pieces of Florentine art masterpieces.
And it's absolutely. I mean, the composition of the museum, the way it's been laid out since it was renovated is absolutely incredible.
And I've never seen it crowded.
No. Not crowded.
It's never crowded.
Same for the Bargello Museum, mm-hmm. the National Sculpture Gallery of Florence. I mean, it's one of the masterpieces in Europe.
It is to statues what the Uffizi is to paintings.
Correct.
I love
Correct.
It.
Bargello and San Marco, also the Museum of San Marco.
Oh, you're getting me all excited.
There's two people a day, and if you go there, you have the same quality of the Uffizi.
I want to stand up and just scream sometimes because everybody is mobbed at the Uffizi, hot, sweaty, wasting time, and in a bad mood. And I'm telling them, it's a 10-minute walk to the Bargello. You got Donatello, you got Ghiberti, you got Michelangelo. It's a 10-minute walk to the Museum of the Cathedral. And you've got Michelangelo's great Pietà. You've got Donatello. You've got all the great art of that church. And then it's another 10-minute walk to San Marco. And if you don't know Fra Angelico, you don't know what you're missing. Fra Angelico, he's the most sumptuous painter of the Middle Ages.
Absolutely.
The High Middle Ages.
And the library there that Michelozzi created. Michelozzi was I think it was Cosimo de' Medici's favorite architects. Am I remembering correctly?
I think so, yeah.
And then what I was thinking about, we're talking about Alto Arno, the other side of the river, the Boboli Garden, the Boboli Palace. Amazing collection of paintings there in a massive palace and no crowds.
Yeah, Pitti Palace, Boboli Garden, also the Bardini Gardens. The gardens up the hill, there are free entrance, beautiful view. The best view of Florence from the Oltre Arno is from the Bardini Gardens.
We're getting you ready for a magnificent trip to Florence and the surrounding countryside of Tuscany right now on Travel with Rick Steves. David Tordi is a tour guide who specializes in central Italy and is based in Orvieto, a short drive south of Tuscany. He also fronts for his band called Bartender. And American-born Lisa Anderson also guides visitors around Italy and is raising her Italo-Americano family in the Piedmont region of Italy, just a bit north of Tuscany. You'll find links to our guests with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Let's head out now for a day trip into the Tuscan countryside. So, Lisa, where would you recommend we start?
Lovely Fiesole.
Fiesole.
Fiesole. Take the bus from the center of Florence and get into this wonderful town that was built by the Etruscans.
Yeah, it's a hill town right outside of Florence.
Yeah, and it's got some wonderful, wonderful sights, not just restaurants, an old arena, and a beautiful view.
And an easy bus connection from downtown Florence.
Exactly, public buses, it's inexpensive.
David, another side trip from Florence?
Any bus into the Chianti region, south of Florence, you would love exploring a couple of the towns of Chianti, Greve in Chianti, Castellina in Chianti.
So all of these classic you're in the Tuscan sun kind of escapes.
Wonderful destinations. Also other towns that you can visit very close are, in my opinion, Pistoia.
Pistoia
is a breeze from Florence, and it's one of the most underrated Tuscan towns.
I've never been there.
Oh,
Pistoia.
My gosh.
How long does it take to go there?
Oh, half an hour.
Half an hour.
From Florence. It's incredible.
Pistoia. How do you spell that?
Pistoia.
Pistoia. I'll let Lisa spell it because she's an American. How do you spell it?
Pistoia. Pistoia.
I was right.
I get so confused, the European pronunciation of
Zion. Also, Lucca in Siena.
Lucca. So like about an hour away, you can see Pisa, Lucca, Siena. There's so much to see so close. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Lisa Anderson and David Tordi. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. You can email us at radio@ricksteves.com. And let's see, Zach is on the line from Boston. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thanks for your call. Have you been to Florence lately?
Not lately, but I've been there twice.
Uh-huh. Do you have a question or a comment for our guests?
Well, my question was going to be what exciting side trip should we take besides Pisa or Siena or Lucca, but I just heard you guys talk about two great little towns that I think I'm going to check out. One of them was Pistoia?
Pistoia.
Okay.
Pistoia. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I would say also Arezzo.
And what was the other one you mentioned?
Well, Lisa just brought up another one, which sounds great. Arezzo.
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 Which is where, if I'm not mistaken, Vasari.
Yes.
Came from Giorgio Vasari, who wrote all about the lives of the famous artists and architects in the Renaissance. And
it's less than an hour train ride south of Florence. Beautiful, beautiful town.
Yeah,
okay.
So Zach, you're like a lot of Americans. You've been to Florence twice, and you're ready to go back, but you want to augment the experience by getting out into the countryside. And I would remind you, don't worry too much about renting a car if you'd rather just take public transit, because you can get around with public transit surprisingly well in Italy. But the point is, Lodz is nearby Florence. You can do it as day trips or you can do it as overnights. Zach, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Lisa Anderson and David Torti. We're talking about Florence and side trips. Let's think about doing something in Florence that might be a little bit under the radar, something that's an experience. Do you got any ideas on how we can distinguish our visit to Florence with some special activity?
Cooking classes, there are cooking classes all over. Some are at the Mercato Centrale. You can look on their website. Yeah. Some are through private citizens that just invite people into their homes, I think, you know, guided by kind
That's
of things.
Great. Yeah.
There are so many good things. In Tavola is a great cooking school.
In Tavola.
In Tavola.
All right. David, any ideas about some activity or some offbeat site while you're in Florence?
Definitely. Florence is famous also for its beautiful food markets. The Mercato Centrale is the main, the central market.
Yeah.
But then each district has their own temporary or permanent markets. For example, the Mercato Sant'Ambrogio, the Sant'Ambrogio market. And that's an incredible place because it basically serves only the locals.
Yeah.
And it's a market dedicated to the locals and not to the tourists.
Yeah,
and yet,
I got to say, the Mercato Centrale is great physically, and it was great, but it's quite touristy now. It's still fun.
Oh, yeah.
And you got the ground floor has got this food fight of beautiful market stalls and everything. And upstairs, you've got all of these little one-off branches of existing restaurants that are right there. And you've got communal tables, so you just roam around with your friends and you meet at the table and you bought whatever you want. And it's reasonable. It's not cheap, but it's reasonable. And it's fun.
It's an Italian food court.
Yeah, that's
what
upstairs.
It is. The upstairs. It's there an Italian
go.
Food court.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think what I would like to do is find the more local style alternative to the central
Sant'Ambrogio
market.
Sant'Ambrogio,
which is not far from the Church of Santa Croce.
Yeah.
But also the district markets in the Old Trarno, again, over the Arno River,
right.
Depending where, not far from Santo Spirito Church, for example, there's always beautiful fruit and vegetables and cheese and deli shops. And they're all locals. And the customers are only the locals.
You know, you just mentioned the church,
Santo Spirito.
Santo Spirito, yes.
And it reminds me, when you get a little bit away from the center and you step into a few particular churches, you'll find no crowds and you'll be all alone with one of the most magnificent pieces of art that art historians have drooled over for 500 years. I mean, frescoes by Masaccio, statues by Michelangelo, Donatello, great paintings. Think of a couple of those in Florence. You can go to, you can see the Masaccio.
Santo Spirito for one of the most incredible wooden crucifixes in the world by Michelangelo.
Yes.
That's mind-blowing.
And architecture by Brunelleschi.
And the Trinity by Masaccio.
Yeah, the Trinity by Masaccio, the paintings by Masaccio in the Trinità. And also back on the other side of Florence, one thing that many people don't go to is the Hospital of the Innocents. The Hospital of the Innocents, designed by Brunelleschi.
Oh, that's an
the
amazing
architecture
place.
Of it is amazing. And on top, there's a rooftop bar.
Yeah.
Right?
With a great view of the cupola by Brunelleschi's cupola.
So you've seen all your Brunelleschis and your Donatellos and you're ready for a nice cup of coffee.
Or a spritz.
With a great view.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Lisa Anderson and David Torti. We're talking about Florence and Tuscany. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Julie is calling in from Northampton, Massachusetts. Hey, Julie.
Hi there.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking the call. My question is about the effect of the Catholic Jubilee year on tourism numbers. I've read that 35 million pilgrims are expected in Rome because of the Jubilee, but I've seen conflicting opinions about how much increase in tourism other areas of Italy will see. And I'm planning to go back to Florence in November, but I hate crowds.
Yeah.
So I better off waiting, say, until March 2026?
Well, when you ask a question about a Jubilee, or you're kind of asking somebody like about Halley's Comet or something like that, because it only comes around once in every long while. That's every 25 years. There's a Jubilee year, and the Pope decided to call this one for 2025. I guess that's on time. And true, lots of people will go to Rome for this, and it's most of the year, and it will cause a lot of congestion in Rome. Historically, a lot of these kind of events, they create a great stir, and a lot of journalists love to make it exciting and scary. But we have two guides here that work in Florence, and I'd love to get, the question is, how will Jubilee crowds spill beyond Rome? What do you think, David?
I think that Rome is a unique place in the world, for sure. And it's not going to be more crowded than it already is. It's the traveler's approach to travel that has to change and has to update. So if a place is overcrowded during the business hours, again, I invite you, Julie, or anyone else traveling to places like Florence or Rome, be mindful of doing activities early in the morning, maybe do outdoor activities early in the morning or in the evenings at night when the big cruise ships and the big tour groups are gone and you're left not alone because you're still in Florence and Rome. You'll never be alone, but you will have an incredible experience. And then I suggest you visit off the beaten path sites. And of course, if you want to do the highlights, I always suggest my friends when they travel together, create your own bubble around you. Concentrate on the art, on the piece you're looking at. Do not look at the crowds. Just find your own mental space and enjoy it. And that's going to be your crowded moment, of course, because you're in Rome, like when you're in Paris or in Florence. But other than that, pace yourself away from the crowds in good hours of the day. And yeah.
Thank you. Half the battle is not going where everybody's going at the same time. You can go where everybody's going, but not at the same time. You could go early, right at the crack of dawn when it opens, or you could be there late. I was just at the Vatican Museum, and I was filming in the Pinacoteca, and I had an hour before the place closed.
And I thought, it was empty.
It was empty. I walked over to the Sistine Chapel. I have never seen the Sistine Chapel, and this was peak season.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was there 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. I had a whole hour, and everybody was back at the hotel comparing war wounds of how crowded it was and how hot it was cool and empty for me because I was using those magic hours by minimizing the crowds.
I would also say it's probable that there's going to be a little overflow from Rome. I would say know yourself and how you like to travel too. If you're somebody that can fly by the seat of your pants a little bit and don't mind not knowing where you're going to sleep at night, otherwise just be prepared and have an idea. Make your reservations for the really fundamental things.
Yeah.
And again, it is it's your mindset and how you...
I would say the critical thing, if you're thinking about the Edinburgh Festival or Rome in the Jubilee Year or whatever, when you know there's going to be a crowd, get your hotel figured out. And then if you're going to be a sightseer and you're going to see the famous sights, read your guidebook, find out what you need to book in advance, and commit yourself. Okay, now you have to go at 10 o'clock because you got a reservation there. But the cool thing about the new post-COVID approach to crowded museums in Europe is during COVID, they learned how to moderate the crowds because they had to. And I think a lot of them like that. So it carries on now, even when it's not necessary from a COVID point of view. But there's no more commotion in Milan at the where you see the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci because every 20 minutes, 50 people show up.
Exactly.
Every 20 minutes.
It's just it's absolutely. Just,
it actually feels more comfortable now than a few years ago for some sites because they now moderate the entrances.
The chaos is gone. And you got to moderate that with your own smart planning and compromising your blow as the wind, footloose and fancy freeness a little bit because you're choosing to go to a place that's crowded. Hey, Julie, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Hope you got some good information there. I sure did. I love talking to you guys. This is so much fun sharing our questions and our dreams about traveling in Florence and Tuscany with two great local guides, Lisa Anderson and David Tordi. Mille grazie.
Grazie. Te.
Grazie.
Prego.
Where is life more active and attractive than in Florence?
If you'd rather drive on flat land instead of the winding roads of hilly Tuscany, may we recommend a trip to Denmark. Up next, we'll explore the possibilities just beyond the capital city of Copenhagen. Thanks for coming along. It's Travel with Rick Steves.